Hello to all my Chaver Mishir Tervis Moshe around the world. Continuing on our Shira Mishnayos, we are doing Maseches Shabbos, Perches, Mishnah Beis, which in the Gemara starts on Daf Ayin Ches Mad Aleph. And the Mishnayos in this Perek deal with carrying items out of from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachad, vice versa, or carrying for Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. And for each item, the amount that a person has to carry in order to be chayev for doing such a thing is something that the item it would have some use for. So the Mishnayos are going through in this parak all the different items and explaining the amount that item would have a shear for carrying and what the purpose of that small amount would be that would then be useful for that item that would bring him to the Isser. So now the mission starts off. A person takes a piece of rope out, a small piece, but it's enough to make the handle for a box. As Rashi and the Rav say, you're going to create this handle with the rope in order to be able to hold on to the box, to carry it, to then pick it up. Tesis Yantif brings from the Gemara, since rope is very thick, very hard, something would not, it would only be used to attach to something which would not be ruined by the hardness of the material of the rope. So we're about to talk about in the Mishnah about a sifter and a sieve, which are delicate items, delicate instruments, and a person wouldn't attach a rope to it. So, since it's very hard, it would ruin the sifter and the sieve, and a person wouldn't make it. Therefore, even though it would make a smaller shear to attach to those items, we say it's not the shear necessary for rope. A rope would not be used to attach to those. So we go talk with the shear would have to be the handle for a box. And the Mishnah continues about the sifter in the sieve, gemi, a reed, kidelasus t'lai l'napa l'kifra. If we want to hang up a sifter or sieve by the use of a reed, so the amount that it would take to create this hanging part would be the shear that someone would be chayev for taking out into Rishus HaRabim. The Rav adds to this that this is a smaller shear than the amount of rope you would need for a kupa for a box. Tversel says, what's the difference between a napa and a kivra? A napa is a sifter for flour, and a kivra is to clean grain. And he says, it also seems that way from Maseches Olos, Perek Yud Ches, Mishnah Beis. But some say the opposite. They explain the napa and the kivra differently, as far as which one is for the grain and which one is for the flour. Chidush Aran says the napa and the kivra aren't as heavy as the kupa, as the box, and they don't need large loops to be hung by. So they need a smaller amount of a shear. And since the gemi would be used for that, the size of the gemi of the reed, that would be the shear to bring you to an esr. Chidush Aran says, we just said that. Let's continue on with the Mishnah. The Rabbi Huda Omer, can they lead to me, man, and meet his minnel cotton? For a reed, he says, nothing to do with the napa, the kivra. The shear would be the amount of the reed you would need to measure out the size of a shoe for a youngster. And Rashi says, you're going to go to the shoemaker, and the person who's knows how to create something you need for the shoe, and you show them, this is the size I need, and you have to measure it, so the size of the reed that you take to measure. And the Rav Yitzchak, the shear is more than the shear for the hanging of the nap and the kivra. The Tiferes Yisrael says, for the what type of a shoe, we said for a cotton, it means for a one-day-old child, small foot, the size of a reed you need to measure that out. Meiri says, he would also argue on the shear of the rope. He says, for both of them, the shear is both for the rope and the gemi, had the same shear, same size. But the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Niyar, what if someone takes out paper? Rashi Rav says the paper comes from grass. And what do you use the paper for? Kidei lichtov alav kesher mochsin, the size of a paper that a tax collector would write his receipt with. And they explain that sometimes people traveling on the river, they're going to pay their tax on one end of the river, or they're going to get a receipt that their tax has been waived for whatever reason, and then he's going to need to hold that paper, either the receipt that was paid or that it was waived, and he's going to have to show the seal on it to the tax collector on the other end of the river to show that he already paid or took care of his taxes, whatever way. And the way they would normally do it is they would write two large letters as a siman. They're bigger than the way we normally write our regular letters. And if he says, if you do check in the Maseches Megillah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, and Maseches Sota, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, that there the Rav explains that they crush grass and then they glue them together to make paper. Tiferes Yisrael says, since they come from threads of grass, it's called niyar, because niran in Greek means small threads. Okay, continuing on the Mishnah, not only the paper that you would write the kesher mochsen on, the size that would be necessary, there would be chiyuv for that. If someone takes out, introduces a rabbin or whatever, from one shoes to the other, the receipt of the mochsen, he'd be chayiv. Now, the Tesis Yantuf brings from Tosus, why do we need this extra point? I tell you, even if this kesher mochsen was written on a cloth, not on paper, even though later on we're going to say in this Mishnah, the shear of a cloth is to write on it a small parsha and its filling, still, if it's some reason the tax collector wrote his two large letters on a cloth, and you took that out, you would also be chayiv. Tesu Giveger says, another point you could say is that the Mishnah is telling you, even that you already showed it to the tax collector, and you're not going to need it afterwards, still you're chayiv. Like the sheet in Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa, as Rabbi Elazar explains there, that you're going to have to show it to a second one possibly later on, and to show that, look, I'm a respectable person, I pay my taxes, and here's proof, I'm holding on to this receipt. And therefore, we could say that that's why the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Kesef Mishnah brings a reason that since the Mishnah just says Stam Ba'motzi Kesher Mochsen, it's mashma that we pass on that, like the Rabbi Yehuda, in all cases you be chayiv. Check it out over there. And based on that, we can say that the Rambam is bothered by Tosas Kasha, that since we already had paper in order to write, this year would be to write the receipt for the of the tax collector, why do you need this other part in the Mishnah that if you carry out the tax receipt, you're chayev? But it must be telling you that even though you already showed it to the tax collector, you still be chayev for taking it out, because you're going to need that possibly in the future to show that you're a respectable tax-paying citizen, and the stama is like Rabbi Yehuda. Moving on to the next item of the Mishnah, Niyar Machuk. If you have paper that has been erased, so what's the size of the paper you'd be chayiv taking out? Kidei lichruch al pi tzluchas katana shel plaitin, to wrap around the opening of a glass, small glass container that holds plaitin, as we'll soon explain. Rashi Rav says this paper can't be written on anymore because it's been erased and it wouldn't hold any new thing you're going to write on it. Therefore, you need a bigger shear. And the bigger shear would be not the shear of just writing a small thing on, but the shear that you need to wrap around the opening of this jar. This is Yantu explains in Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. Sensei explains that in Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, there the Rav explains to the Rav that what is Pleiton. That's he's pointing us to what this word Pleiton, where did that explain previously? It's explained previously in Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel, and there the Rav tells us it's Mar, which is musk, fragrant. Thing, and Rashi explains balsam, mishkad afarsama, a balsam, which is also a fragrance. So that's what the small flask is holding. Continuing on, Perakhes Mishnah Gimel, which is the Gemara and Daf Ayin Ches Mabez, talking some other items. What are the shia for these other items would be chaya for carrying out on Shabbos? Or leather, Taisa Yantar says that. And the Gemara has explained what type of leather we're talking about. Leather that's already been salted, but it hasn't been fully worked. It hasn't had flour and gallnut worked into it. So it's partially processed leather. Kidei lasas kameya, the amount of or to create an amulet. Rav says not to actually write the amulet, but to cover around the amulet. Chedisha Ran says in Daf Ayin Testament Aleph, no, he learns it's the actual cloth that you're going to be writing the Kameya on. And what about, that was or, the amount of or you need, the amount of leather you need to write the amulet. And a cloth, if you have a worked piece, and it's ready to parchment, Taisus Yantar said, brings from the Taisus, that when you work a piece of leather, you break it into two pieces. One which is closer to the hair side of the leather, that's called cloth, and the one that's closer to the meat part is called sustus, because in Greek meat is called sustus. So we're talking about the place of the meat. So here we're talking about cloth. It's a leather part of the leather which is towards the hair of the animal. The shear for taking cloth out on Shabbos, the Yibichayev, if you took it out in order to write the small parsha and the tefillin. Rashrav says, since it's very expensive, this worked parchment, they're not going to use this for the tax receipt. They're going to use this for tefillin and mezuzahs. So you're not going to be chayev for a smaller shear. You have to use something that's usable, this cloth. The Taisa Yantar asks, why doesn't it say this the parsha of Sota, which is a smaller shear? As it says in Masechta Sota, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, we use sometimes write a parsha Sota, so why don't we talk about the size of the cloth needed for that? And it re-explains that parsha Sota is not shchiach, like the parsha that Tefillin doesn't use too often. Tefillin is used by everybody every day, so it's used very infrequently in the Beis HaMikdash. And we say that any time we have something which is shchiach and something which is not shchiach, the Rabbanan go according to the shchiach, even to the kula. Taisus Yan, Taisus, and then he brings that from Taisus and Saita Daf Yid Zayin. The first Rav says, why don't we say the mezuzah, the shear of mezuzah? Why the shear of tefillin? Because in the mezuzah, it doesn't say a shema on the cloth by itself, as we're about to say here. Parashat Tanis of Tefillin, this mission says, Shehi Shema Yisrael. You have to have the size of a Shema Yisrael. As the Yantar says, he wonders, why do we have to explain to you that the smallest parashat in Tefillin is the Shema Yisrael? Just read the parashat in Tefillin, you'll see that that's the smallest parashat. And he says, it must be, he's telling you that since it says at the end of the third parak of Menachos, that four parashas of Tefillin, Amakav Zivutzu, you can't have just three of the parashas of Tefillin, those doesn't work. You need all four parashas. So maybe the shear for carrying out on Shabbos should be the amount that you have to write all four parashas. That's the size of the cloth. That's what we're telling you. No, we just need the size of the Shema Yisrael. Since it's the smallest parsha, which is Shema Yisrael, we can measure that. Because that, you also read it, the Shema Yisrael, at bedtime. So, if that's the case, really, why does it mention the Parsha Tana Shulchan? Why don't you say, writing the size of a cloth, you could write a Shema because you'd read it at your bedtime? He says, because if it was not for the fact that we write the Shema in the Tefillin, just for the fact that someone uses it at bedtime, that would not be enough to say that's the Shir. Because most people in the world know Shema by heart, and they read it without a cloth. They don't, or if they're going to use something, they use it like a sitter. Well, it's part of a whole sefer. They're not going to have a piece of cloth written just Shema Yisrael on it that they can use for Kriyas Shema L'Al Mitzvah. But now that it's written in the Tefillin, and we need to have it in the Tefillin, and people also do read Kriyas Shema at night by itself, therefore the Chachamim gave the Shir by the Kriyas Shema by itself. And the Tiferes Yisrael says, based on what the Beis Yosef explains in Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Beis Os Yud Daled, that a person should write the Parsha Shema from a thick cloth, thicker than usual. So I might have thought that's why it mentions Parsha Ketana Tefillin, that you also have to have the shear of the cloth, which it be the width of the Parsha Shema and the Tefillin. Therefore, we end today Lichtov to tell you that the shear is just for the length of the cloth and not in its width. So it's Kidei Lechtev. The Lechem Shemayim says there's a possibility that people will understand that Parsha Ketana means the last Parsha, as we mentioned in Psechta Sota, Perek Tes, Mishnah Tes Vav. And people think that since Tefillin needs to be written in the right order that's written in the Torah, so the part of the cloth to be written that without the last part of the cloth having the last part of the four parashas not written, the cloth couldn't be used, and maybe you wouldn't be chayef because it doesn't have any use without the last piece of the four parashas. But if you did write already three parashas and you found that you didn't have enough cloth, and you would take out a cloth to write the last parsha, then it would be very useful. And maybe only with the last parsha a person would be chayav for taking out on Shabbos. Therefore, the Tana points out, we're talking about, emphasizes Parsha Ketana, which is Shema Yisrael. Don't think Parsha Ketana is the last part of the four parashas. No, we're talking about the Shema Yisrael. Even though that can only be used as part of a tefillin, and you're going to need more cloth later on to finish the tefillin with something else, still, whatever it takes to write the Shema, that would be the shear. Well, okay, the next item in the Mishnah, Diyo, ink. Kidei Lichdiv Shteyos is the amount of ink it would take to write two letters. Rashi Rav says, you're going to use these two letters to mark two pieces of a kli. They have to be put together or on two beams to then match them together side by side to know where to put them back if you've taken it apart, like they did in the Mishkan. Rashi and Daf Pei Amud Aleph Divrei Maaseh Os Echad B'Diyo Os Echad B'Komos. There, he says, maybe why don't we say that the shear is the you're taking out the ink in a quill? Okay, so why don't we say the quill is the thing that is causing the issur for carrying it out? He says no, you would be chayav for taking the quill because that's only tafel to the smaller item. Okay, as we had in Daf, as we're going to have later on, Daf Tzadik Gilma Beis, that if you take out food less than the shear in a kli, you're pacha even if taking on the kli, because the kli is tafel to it. So here we don't worry about the quill, we're talking about the ink, which is the important part. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rambam in Perek Yudches Hilchot Halacha Tes hold that we're talking about, we have ink already on the writing instrument, because it's impossible to write two letters unless you have a little bit more ink, that from that amount of ink you could then pick up the amount of ink that you're going to have to write the two letters. So it's already in the pen, and we're talking about the amount that you would write the two otsis. Kechol, so it's not that you're taking out just the ink by itself and then from that ink taking the amount of ink you need to write two ozis, because by taking out the ink, you have to have more than two in order to take two from it. Kichol, what about the, if someone takes out like eyeshadow, how much would be the chiyuv there? Kidei lechol einach, in order, as much as it would take to put on for one eye, the Rav says, because girls who would snuos, that wear wraps around their head, they only reveal one eye, and that's the one that they put the makeup on. Taisis from Daf Pei Amud Beis, Rei Maschil and Refua, that over there the Gemara is making a difference between whether it's used for Refua or for makeup. Sometimes it's Chol is used for Refua. So there the Rei says that if we're talking about Refua, that this Chol, this coloring is good for refua, then the shiur would be in order to put it into one eye to heal one eye, even if you didn't put it away to save it for that particular purpose. Or when you say in the refua means in that place, in that location, they use it also for refua. But in the kashet, if it's only used for makeup, that they use it for makeup and they don't normally use it for refuah, then the shiur would be two eyes worth. The amount it would take to put the makeup on both eyes. Okay, that's the end of our shiur today. Questions, comments, complaints, you can reach me at sheldon_rothman@yahoo.com or call me at 052-244-9331. Have a good day.